It is about 24 minutes after the hour on a Tuesday morning, and that means Dr. Don Clark, he visits us every week about this time, and we talk about interesting stuff, science and creation and allegory and metaphysics and wine sometimes, too, we talk about. Dr. Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments. He is a biochemist with lots of years in the pharmaceutical industry. We've had some great discussions on COVID and vaccines and things. But, Don, today a different challenge for you here. We're going to take on the Pope.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. You're ready? Roll up your sleeves. Pope Francis is talking about the possibility, the likelihood of a great flood, which would, of course, reprise Noah's flood. But he's saying, well, this is probably not God's wrath. This would be just global warming, or maybe it is. Maybe global warming is God's wrath for man's wrongdoing and his sin, and maybe it will obliterate humanity. But characterizing the nature of this coming great flood seems to be a challenge for him, because he seems to imply that the great flood, as related in Genesis, may have been a myth. A lot of other people think it's a myth. And does that change the message for us? If you know, we talked about the flood many times, Noah and the family and the ark and the animals and the ancestors and the symbolic part and the literal part. What if it was all a myth? Does that change the message? I mean, wouldn't it mean the same thing? Wouldn't the moral lesson be the same?
No. It would be this. It would be as if you are saying that the world was created by evolution instead of God creating it in six literal days. Hmm. There are some foundational truths in Scripture. God laid out Genesis as a historical record, as he did several other books in the Bible, obviously. Chronicles, First and Second Chronicles, and the Kings, and those type of books as well, are obviously a recording of that era and the kings that were rising and falling and the things that were happening to Israel at the time. Well, Genesis is just the same. It's a historical record, and God is telling man where we came from. And, if you don't understand, for example, that you are created in the image of God, as it says at the end of chapter 1 of Genesis, then you're kind of lost, because you can't answer one of the basic questions is, where did I come from? And so not understanding where you came from can lead to a lot of confusion about your identity and about, for example, are you going? And the other question is, why am I here? And God, outlines all of this, of course, in Genesis and, subsequent chapters. And he spends a lot of time with man, because he explains, of course, the creation in chapter 1, and then in chapter 2 he goes on, as we've talked about, goes on and describes in detail how he specifically created man and what he created man for. And we were to have dominion over the earth. And by the time you get to chapter 6, which is the flood chapter, he explains the fall and the results of the fall. Of course, the wages of sin is death. We've read that in Romans. So part of the whole description in Genesis is man's effort now to get back to God. But God actually, after the fall in chapter 3 of Genesis, he gives him away, because he says, look, you need to do, he clothed them because they realized they were naked, and we don't want to go through all that again. But he clothed them by killing an animal and sacrificing an animal for the exposure, basically, of their sin. Now, being naked implies they no longer had their glow, and so they now were in a sinful state, so that sinful state had to be covered, which, of course, you know, was pointing to Jesus.
Yeah, so it's prophetic. So it's like this: if the flood is allegory, if it's made up as a morality tale, and not rooted in reality, it leaves those moral lessons up to man's discretion, up to opinion. It becomes relative. It becomes not necessarily, in fact, not truth at all, if it's made up, which makes the lesson almost useless.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, so if the flood isn't true, then perhaps man didn't fall, and perhaps, you know, all of the other things that, of course, Israel holds on to, isn't true. And so then we can become ultimately our own gods, which is, of course, the plan and scheme of the enemy, is to think that we can indeed be God, as Lucifer thought he can be God. He wants to be God. And ultimately, he wants to have dominion, complete dominion over the earth and over mankind. But the fact that the Pope is hesitating here and saying, well, you know, maybe the flood happened, maybe it didn't, maybe it's a myth, but we do have some traces of flood. There's some evidence, some little traces of the flood in man's excavation. In archaeology, they're finding some, historical evidence of the flood, but he's not really coming out and say, you know, the flood is history. It's accurate. He's not even saying that this was a result necessarily of God's wrath, but only it's supposed to be an imagery of God's wrath, which is absolutely, crazy. Of course it's God's wrath, and God, protected a certain group of people, mainly 8 people, through his wrath, which, of course, was the Noah's Ark. God told Noah to build an ark to hold him and his family, and at least 2 of a kind of all the animals. So he was carrying man, if you will, through his wrath so that they could come out on the other side and repopulate the earth. So God had a plan all along. And as a matter of fact, from the very beginning, when God made Adam and Eve, he knew that they would fall, and he knew that he would have to send his son, his only begotten son, as Savior. And he knew that this event, that this flood event, as well as other events that are recorded in Scripture, were going to happen, and he knew the exact time when they needed to happen. So to say that this is just a form or a figure of God's wrath is...
Another way to look at it, to deny the historicity of the flood or other events in Genesis is to deny the truth, is to deny the basic meaning, or to invalidate the conclusion that we're dealing with God's wrath and a provision that he made for mankind to survive.
Right, and if you don't, not only a provision that they survive, but you take away the need for a savior, I think, which is the most important part. Because if you just think of, well, God is love, which he is. He says that he is love, that he is the ultimate in love. And, perfect love casts out fear and all of those other things. But... there is another side of God, and that is he is a judge, and he is the perfect judge. And here, this is just one example where God judged, the people on earth. It's the major example, on with Noah's flood, and it shows that God will indeed judge, and he will judge again. He throughout Scripture, he is judging people. So if you have a religion that says, you can do anything you want. God will, he'll forgive you. You don't have to, say, come to Jesus because he's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to come to him because there's many ways, and that's where the Pope is going. There's many ways to come to God. And if you don't understand that God also has his wrath will be poured out on the earth again, it will not be by flood because God promised not to do it by flood again, but it'll be by fire and other things as recorded in Revelation. But he will judge man again. It is his mercy that he is delaying his wrath upon man. He wishes, obviously, that none shall perish, but man will perish because of his arrogance, because of his pride, because of his lust, and all of the other things that Satan has brought to consume man. In man, it says in Revelation that, after an outpouring of God's wrath on earth, man is still saying, is gnashing their teeth at God for the bad things that are happening. They're not coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. They are gnashing their teeth at him.
It's interesting that the Pope has recently brought up Satan and COVID-19, relating Satan with COVID, and he's saying that Satan is using this to frighten man into submission, into one way or another. It seems like the other side of the Pope's approach to theology here, that Satan is real, and he's using COVID and other earthly events to intimidate and to badger man into thinking and acting in a certain way. And yet, the original flood might have been myth. I mean, this is incongruous.
It doesn't make any sense at all, because one of the reasons for the flood was because the sons of God just saw that the daughters of man, and there was a contamination in the DNA, if you will, of man, so God had to deal with that. But at the same time, their hearts were continually evil. And that's where we're heading as a people group again, especially, after we, the believers, get taken out. Many will be martyred, as we know, but of course there is the rapture that will happen. And when God's representatives get taken out of the earth, of course, Satan will have a heyday here on earth, especially the last 3.5 years is recorded in Revelation as to some of the things that are going to happen. So, yes, Satan is real. His fallen angels are real. The demons are real. But if he's not giving credence to an actual physical flood that happened, and it wasn't just a local flood, as many would state, there's evidence for flood over here, but it doesn't look like there's evidence for flood over here. But from a if you're being geologically honest with yourself, there is evidence for flood all over the world, and it was a global flood. And one of the things that he's suggesting here is that, the global warming is going to cause another flood like we had at the time of Genesis. But that can't happen because God caused the mountains to form, to rise, and the valleys to basically drain the water off of the earth. And so that can't happen again unless there's major restructuring of the earth to flatten it out again. There's many points here that just doesn't jive with a complete to biblical accuracy. There's so much evidence for the global flood that with thousands of feet of rock deposits, water rock deposits, both marine and land The fossils, for example, the only way you can have a fossil is to capture it in mud very rapidly. That's, you know, throughout the Earth. It's not just in one little region. And, of course, you know, another example that's not in this article is the Salt Lake. I mean, you know, the Salt Lake in Utah. Where did the salt come from? And we have a town north of us here called Grand Saline. And they have salt mines. I mean, you get big, thick layers of salt. Where did that come from? You know, if the waters didn't cover the Earth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Texas is full of, you know, evidence of a flood, as well as most of America.
The Pope is not here to defend himself, and I don't want to speculate too much about what his intent was, but it seems that he's equivocating on theology in order to become political. Maybe to persuade or to incline certain organizations, governments, to begin behaving in a certain way. He's got to deliver a political message. So maybe that was his thinking. But I know he's taken heat from the Catholic Church for his positions on abortion and homosexuality as being it's his orthodoxy that's come into question. And this seems to add to that skepticism about where he's coming from.
Well, and if he's trying to be, which I believe he is, if he's trying to be the spiritual leader, for example, of the world, then he has to appeal to every religion, not just to the Catholics. So he's got to relax his theology in order to accommodate. And this is what, you know, part of the Catholic Church has done for a long time, has relaxed their theology in order to accommodate some of the other religious practices around the world, and say, oh yes, you can join us. You don't have to become a Catholic, but you can join in this global religion. I think that's where he's going. I think that's his intention.
I think you've hit on something there. I'm just wondering if this Pope Francis is typical of this new generation of leaders that has also introduced this kind of thinking into Europe and other parts of the world. This is kind of a relaxation of standards, like, oh, don't take us too seriously. This is just religion we're talking about. We can discard it, or we can pick and choose which parts we want.
Yes, and not only which parts we want, but the parts that we like is that God is love. So all we need to do is just love one another and get along with one another, and we'll be great. The only problem with that is, what is your definition of love? And then you start saying, well, that's not a loving thing to do. I mean, and you can justify anything based on that, depending on, you know, who's in power at the time can redefine love to their own definition. And when you exclude, you know, that, God is a judge as well. This is his way to get back. He made the way, for example, for us to come back into right relationship with him. But if we ignore or completely deny that way, and that you can get back to God in any way that you see fit, as long as, in quote, you're a good person, then you've completely obliterated the gospel, of course, and you've completely obliterated Christianity. So I think that's where, you know, the Pope is going, and he wants to be all inclusive, and we have to guard ourselves. Of course, you know, one of the signs, or the beginning signs of the end times, is a great apostasy coming upon the church. And perhaps this is just another step in that direction, where churches will actually fall away from Christ and from the teachings, his teachings, so that we can be more accommodating to the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm. It's a humanistic tendency to make Jesus just another guy, another philosopher, another teacher, another wise man, and not divine. Which is and I'm not sure what to call that. I want to call it sin. I want to call it wrong. I want to call it tragic. A great mistake, the great mistake, to deny the evidence that is presented so beautifully for us in the Bible. I see you got a puppy to tend to there. So we'll see if we can.
Okay.
There we go. There we go.
Okay. So where? Yes. I'm sorry. I lost my train.
Yeah, I know.
What were you?
Well, I'm kind of losing it too. It's that we're denying the spiritual and doing our best to make everything humanist. That is, it's feel good stuff. But it's not. You know, you mentioned that you used the word inclusive. God is not inclusive. He divides between good and evil.
Yes, he does. And when you start being all inclusive, you can do anything under that type of system. Now, we also know that there will be a great delusion that will come upon people. And I believe we're currently seeing some of that. We're currently seeing it in the political realm, where it is, to some of us, it's completely obvious of what's going on politically around the world. To others, it's like, wow, this is going to be great. This is great what's happening. And so we're seeing a polarization from, in everything. It's not just, it's not just in this aspect about whether there was a flood or not, whether the dinosaurs are 30 million years old or only 4,000 years old, for example, the fossils that we find. It's in everything. It's in the way we behave. It's and we're losing our identity. We've lost the identity with regard to gender now. We can't say that there is male and female. Even though, in Genesis 1, God says, and he made them male and female. So when you start taking out those things, the result is all of this confusion and that we're having. And I believe the Pope was right that Satan, but more importantly, the global leaders are using, coronavirus to put fear and to control man. That is Satan's ultimate goal, is to control man. So if we don't understand where we came from, if we don't understand our history, as told, in the Bible, then we don't know where we're going, and we can be led anywhere.
What comes to mind now is and maybe you can tell me the chapter and verse, because I can't come up with that for you, but Jesus talks about parents and children with a rift between them. Parents or children acting against their parents, brothers against sisters, and internal divisions within the nuclear family. I think we're seeing that intensively now. I've talked to a number of people, and including our own family, where the kids think much differently. Mom and Dad, you're living in the past. How can you believe that stuff? And we're thinking, how can you think like that? It just doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're being influenced, obviously, by the world that they're growing up in. Mm-hmm. And, we're being influenced by the world we grew up in, which was a much more Christian and God-led society. Back when we were growing up, but now it's an antichrist, if you will, antichrist society and system, and unfortunately the message is all around. They can't get away from the message, and so that just means that we just, obviously we need to pray that God breaks through to our children and that he reveals truth to them, because after all, he is the ultimate truth, and our truth comes from him. but that, you know, the block the plans and schemes of the enemy for our children, because the enemy wants to take them away. Mm.
And I see that trend as a hardening of heart. And we need to be praying for hearts that can receive the truth of God and the wisdom of God. But it's got to be more than prayer. I want to take action. How come there's so many people out there that don't think like I do? You know,
I know. I think we probably think, you know, the same.
Yeah.
And maybe there's many in the audience that think the same. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening to
us. It's a little scary out there. Yeah.
So take heart. You know, don't be like Elijah thinking that he's the last prophet when there was a thousand, mm-hmm. you know, over there.
Yeah, surprise.
God has his people scattered. We just need to get our voices heard again, and it's been taken out of the schools, it's been taken out of the courtroom, it's been taken out of every aspect of life, and now with this cancel culture, if you even begin to say anything against, you know, the current trends, mm-hmm. of course they'll cancel you on Facebook and Twitter and all this other stuff.
So stick to your guns, everybody. Stick to your guns, and I'm not necessarily talking literally here. I'm just talking figuratively.
Yeah, now that you're living in Texas, it's easy for you to say that.
Don't give up what you believe and know to be the truth, and live it. That's the key. Live it. Be seen. Living the truth. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately we need to show the joy of the Lord. You know, the Lord, joy of the Lord is our strength, and we mm-hmm. need to show that. We can't go around moping and say, woe is me, you know, the world is falling apart. It has always fallen apart. So mm-hmm. this is nothing new. It's just maybe new to us. But we need to go around with joy on our hearts so that we are attractive to other people.
Amen. We're talking with Dr. Don Clark, a member of the Board of Creation Moments. I do want to mention their website to you. It's creationmoments.com. And there is a wealth of resources at creationmoments.com that will explain to you, teach to you scientifically the biblical story of creation. And sometimes that needs to be refreshed in our minds as Christians. And you want to take a look there, creationmoments.com. You can link to it from our website at brokenroadradio.com. And Don, we'll look forward to next week, and thank you very much for coming by today, and have a good week. Take care. Be blessed. We'll talk to you then.
Okay. Thank you very much, and you'll be blessed as well.
See you, Don.